Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
We have a really good poem this week, it isn't so much that the study itself is phenomenal. It addresses an important issue, but the whole issue of pap smearing and where do we go with pap smears and human papillomavirus screening, et cetera, is fascinating. And just to put this in perspective, pap smears have become the model really for cancer screening around the world. It's interesting that the effectiveness of pap smear screening for cervical cancer has never been studied in a randomized controlled trial of any kind. It leaves this whole field evolving with regard to screening practices and now the role of HPV testing and perhaps the new technologies. We know that pap smears can detect early changes that, if left untreated, could lead to cervical disease over several years. We also know that cervical cancer is relatively slow growing. It's got a long latency period between detection of abnormalities by any of the screening methods and the development of invasive cancer. That is good for screening. It gives us a window where we really can intervene. So the question is, can we use HPV screens instead of pap smears? And I should let the listeners know that there are four types of HPV tests that the Food and Drug Administration have approved. Each of them varies a little bit in terms of how many serotypes it identifies and what those serotypes are, but to my understanding, no one's recommending one over the other. So HPV testing, either alone or in combination with cervical cytopathology, has been suggested to be a superior test. Mark's found a study that was published in the BMJ just this year, 2014, volume 348. It begins on page 130. It asks the question, is screening for human papillomavirus an effective approach to identifying women at low risk for cervical cancer, which I assume is most of the women that we traditionally do pap smears on? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this was called the Sweet Screen clinical trial. So Sweet Screen, Sweet Screen, Sweet Screen. Just say it quickly. I mean, that'll be your tongue twister for the day. So this analysis came from the Sweet Screen randomized controlled trial that was done in the late 90s. And they invited women between the ages of 32 and 38 to be screened for HPV while also being screened for cervical cancer using standard cytology. They enrolled over 12,000 women. And of them, 3.2% had CIN2 or worse, and 1.9% had CIN3 or worse after 11 years of follow-up. They found that HPV screening every 5 years had a sensitivity of 89% to 92%, so about 90%, and a specificity of 91 to 93.5% for CIN3 or higher. That's similar to the characteristics for cytology every 3 years. Remember, that was every five. This is every three, which was 77 to 92% sensitive, so a little bit less sensitive, but a little more specific at 98%. They also looked at the combination of cytology and HPV screening, and that increased the sensitivity a little bit from 90 to about 93%. And they didn't find any evidence of overdiagnosis, so finding tumors or cancers that would never have become clinically apparent. They didn't see any significant risk of that. And that's consistent with our knowledge of the biology of cervical cancer. There is some concern, particularly because some of the more minor abnormalities do revert on their own. By the time you get to CIN3 or higher, that's much less likely.
It's interesting, and it's obviously listeners, I'm sure, are a little challenged with all these numbers, hearing them. But the bottom line is that HPV screening every five is roughly equivalent to pap screening every three. But here's my question. It was based on technology, if I read the the article correctly, that was, is now, 12 or 13 years old, these HPV screens. Is the technology advanced so that this really would be better? We'd see, better metrics in terms of sensitivity and specificity with some of these newly approved FDA tests?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not an expert in that, but I don't think there's been a major change in the HPV tests that were available around 2000 to now. Our guidelines that both ACOG, American Cancer Society, and the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force have all harmonized their guidelines. The current U.S. recommendations are for women under 30 to avoid HPV testing because it's often a self-limited infection, and it can lead to over-treatment if you're finding a lot of HPV in these younger women. But after age 30, that becomes less likely. And so for women over 30 and up to 65, it's one option is what we call co-testing. So if you do a cytology plus HPV co-testing, then you only have to do that every 5 years. And that's based in part on results from studies like these. If you just do cytology, it's every 3 years, and there currently isn't a recommendation for just HPV. But adding the HPV allows you to lengthen the interval to 5 years for a lot of women. And it really begs the question of what impact is that going to have on health maintenance? So if women don't have to come in every year for a pap smear, or even every 3 years, are they going to come in less and therefore have less hypertension screening, less opportunities to detect alcoholism or depression? So it's going to be an interesting question. Do you still have to do a pelvic exam?
Right.
What's the value of a bimanual exam? We just did an analysis that suggests not very good in terms of detecting ovarian cancer. Mm-hmm. So I think this is an isolated issue around cervical cancer screening, but I think it has a lot of implications, potentially positive and potentially negative. You can see the positive part of it is, gosh, now I don't have to, for a woman coming in for a health maintenance exam, if I had 30 minutes booked, 10 of those minutes were usually spent getting ready for, doing, and then, letting her change after the pelvic exam. And so now can we use those 10 minutes to do something more productive in terms of clinical preventive services?
Lots of issues here, and perhaps someday we'll get to a point where we can just do HPV testing. I'm going to ask you a question, Mark, not to put you on the spot or embarrass you, but do you know offhand what percentage of cervical cancer is related to HPV? I know there's a small percentage that is not related that we'd be missing.
I think it's quite high. It's certainly not 100%, and I think that's part of the reason for retaining cytology rather than just having a purely HPV-based screening. Yeah. And there are some interesting things. Actually, there's some a number of studies in Africa and in other under-resourced settings where they have women doing self-collection for HPV testing, and that might be a practical way to approach it. And in countries where male physicians are not as welcome to do pelvic exams, for example.
Right.
If you can do self-collection of HPV, that might be a pretty good substitute. It may not be perfect, but better than no screening at all. And, increasingly in Africa, we're seeing, high rates of cervical cancer, breast cancer, as people start to live somewhat longer and live long enough to get those conditions.
Mark, thanks for a nice discussion on HPV and cervical cancer. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right, sounds good.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.